Okay.
Since I was born in 1898, I have seen the transition from the agricultural age to the industrial age, and now to the technological age. Going back to the agricultural age, I recall how different the country was then. Instead of wire fences, we had picket fences and rail fences. And then came the wire fences and the barbed wire fences. And each farm was fenced in. The farms were far apart, or the houses were far apart. Here I am.
All right. How about school back then? Did you guys all walk in groups to school, or did you?
We had country schools. We had little one-room schoolhouses, and everybody walked to school. Mm-hmm. And schools. Let's start over.
All right, we'll just keep going. It doesn't have to be. How far was school like?
I walked about 3/4 of a mile. And school started at 9 o'clock. We had a recess in the forenoon. I think it was 10:30. We had 50-minute recess. We had an hour at noon. And then we had a recess again in the afternoon. And at 4 o'clock, school was out.
Was it all grades in that school?
All 8 grades. Mm. Sometimes some schools were larger than others, depending on your district. The school I went to was a large school, and we had just one teacher to begin with. But before I was through school, we added another room and we had 2 teachers. So my school was a country school with 2 rooms. It's a bridge school.
Mm.
And
it's in Grape, right? Or it's near Grape?
It's near Grape. Grape was a flourishing little country, a farmer's central location. And the farmers had, there was a grist mill there where they took their grain for feed, and you could get flour. We'd take the wheat and make flour, and have flour brought home. There was a blacksmith shop, there was a saloon, there was, I think, a grocery store in connection with a saloon. There was another general store there, the town hall was there, the Grange Hall was there, the Woodman Hall was there. But before that, even, there was a lime kiln. Oh, they took the stone out of the ground and ground it into lime.
Mm.
It's limestone. And they ground it into lime. I can remember seeing where the lime kiln was. I don't think you can see it anymore because it's filled in. But I remember as a little girl going to Grape, I could see where the lime kiln had been. Let's see, was there anything else there besides, I said the Woodman Hall, didn't I?
Well, what happened to the town? I mean, how come it stopped progressing like it did?
When the automobile came in, people didn't, you know, and then the farms changed.
Hmm.
Farms changed, and farmers didn't take grist to the mill anymore. The mill was finally changed over into a power structure. Electricity was made, and our first electric lights in our neighborhood came from Grape. There was a I don't know just how they did it, but it was through the mill race and the water wheel. We said every time the lights flashed or flickered, a fish went through the wheel. that was one of the remarks we used to make. Then the Edison took that over. And from that time on, then we had no more trouble. But our first electricity in that area came from Grape, from that mill.
Well, when was that? What year? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember what year.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the farm on South Custer Road at the time. It was after I was married, so I can't tell you. And then the farmers too got the electricity. Electricity was brought out to the farms. Before that, a farm was always dark. I mean, the only way you had any light was, in the early days, was with kerosene lamps.
So the farmers never worked past?
Oh, yes.
They did?
Oh, yes. They had land. They didn't work in the fields. Mm. But the chores were done after dark, and they carried a lantern to the barn. Today, you'd almost be afraid to take a lantern to the barn for fear of a fire. But there was no, never thought anything of it then. You'd hang a lantern on a nail. And of course, in the summer, they didn't need the lights because the days were longer. They didn't need the lantern. But came when fall came and winter, they did all their chores with lantern light.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, after electricity came in, well, the Delco system came in before electricity came in. And some of the farmers had Delco lights that gave them, I don't know just what that was. We had it in our church, I know. They put it in our church. And
never heard of that?
Well, you had to pump up the system. I know that was part of it, because the janitor that was in our church, that worked in our church, took care of that. And I remember one time when we were in church, that was in the rear end of the church. And one time it flared up, and we thought there was going to be a fire. It just blew up like that. And everybody, of course, was ready to run out, and they did. But the first one out was a preacher. And we said afterwards, we said something about him being the first one out, and he said, well, he wanted to avoid a panic. But there was only a handful of people there. I'll never forget that. He was down that aisle as fast as he could go. He was the farthest from the door. But that's just something in the past. Then as children on the farm, we used to have a lot of thrills. When the circus came to town, Dad, my father would take us to town. That was one of the thrills we had. I'll never forget, because we always had, it came during strawberry time. And we'd have to pick a crate of strawberries before we went. And a crate then was 32 quarts. But the whole family went out and picked. We'd be out there picking strawberries. It didn't take us too long because we had lovely strawberries. Then my father would take it to Beck and Getz's store and sell it, and that was the money to take us to the circus.
Mm.
Then another thing that was a thrill when we were children was to go to Chautauqua. That was a educational association that went through the country to different cities and put on lectures. It was very, very interesting. Chautauqua is located in New York State. It's a little town, but that is where this educational association is located. I think they're still in existence. I don't know if they still go out through the country like that. But we were just little children when our folks would take us to those Chautauqua meetings. They'd put up a tent.
Was it a group of teachers?
No, they were professors and, well, they gave lectures and concerts and things like that. Mm-hmm. It was an educational. They went through the country summer during the summers. It was, you know, when it was warm in the summertime. And I remember, too, there was a car that was located on Front Street. It came from, I think, California, and it was in town for a few days. It had an exhibition, gave an exhibition of things from out west, and I guess from other countries. But I remember our folks taking us down to see that. I still have a lucky sea bean that I got there that day. Everybody was given a little toy or a little token of having been there. Now mine was I was handed a lucky sea bean. My sister had a little pail made out of redwood. You know, just some little remembrance was given to you. And another treat was going to Cedar Point on the streetcar. There was a streetcar that went from Monroe to Cedar Point. I shouldn't say Cedar Point. I'll take that back. Monroe Piers.
Where's that?
It used to be down where, I think, Sterling State Park, or I think it might have been even closer to town than that.
Was it just a little...
It was a summer resort. Hmm. There was a clubhouse out there. And a lovely clubhouse. There was a lighthouse out there. We'd walk to the lighthouse. There were lots of trees, and we always carried a picnic lunch. We used to have Sunday school picnics out there. But you went by streetcar. At one time, there was a canal, too, that you could go by boat. Mm-hmm. But we used to go there. And Cedar Point, my folks would take us to Cedar Point when we went to visit my grandmother here in Ohio. And Cedar Point was new, but not this Cedar Point. This is advanced now, but the old Cedar Point.
What did they have there?
Not as much as now. They had the roller coaster and Lover's Lane and different things. We used to have to go by boat.
All the way there?
Because there was no road there when we first went, when we were children. Then we'd take the horse and buggy drive to Sandusky and take the ferry across the bay. But then they finally built the road, and when they built the road, we visited my grandmother when the time the road was opened. So we drove. We had a car by then. Mm-hmm. And we drove the first, we drove to Cedar Point the day the road was opened.
Oh, really?
Because we happened to be at my grandmother's then. She had us come down for that. But then by that time we had a car, see? So we could drive.
So what was your first car like once?
A Dodge. And Mr. McIntyre taught us four children how to drive it.
McIntyre?
Bill McIntyre taught us four children how to drive the car. My dad said he'd buy the car if he would. He'd buy the car if he would teach us how to drive. He did.
So how old was everybody when they got to drive?
George was 13. 13. I must have been 17. Was I? I imagine so.
So everybody was in their teens, pretty much.
Oh yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. George was the youngest, of course. Arlene was just a little. She was probably two, three years old. We bought the car in 1916, just before Elsie graduated from high school, because we drove it down there for her graduation. I remember that. And then we drove it to Ypsilanti that summer when she went to Ypsilanti for summer school. And George drove it all the way there and all the way back, and he was only 13 years old. There were no stone roads, and we didn't know the way. We went so far, and then we'd inquire. Then we'd go take that road, and we'd inquire again. And we finally got there. But the sand would roll under the wheels, It really, and you didn't drive only about 35 miles an hour.
How long did it take? Long time?
It took us quite a while. I know when we came home that night, George was so tired he couldn't eat supper. He laid on the couch and went to sleep. He really was tired. That was a drive for him. But he just loved to drive. You didn't have to teach him how to drive. He got it. It was just natural for him. It was easy, but. Now, we all had to learn to drive. We all learned to drive, except my mother.
She didn't want to learn?
She never learned to drive, no. She had too many of us around driving. She didn't have to.
What about the families in Monroe? Who were the, seemed to be predominant in Monroe at that time? Was it still the McIntyres as it is now? Or?
McIntyres at that time. We bought the car of Mr. McIntyre. They were living in Dundee. We bought that from Charlie and Bill McIntyre, had the Dodge, I said it was a Dodge, didn't right. Dodge sale in Dundee. From Dundee they went to Monroe, see, And I think charting, I don't know, they sold it, did they sell cars? Then they went into auto equipment, they went into something else. But I remember they went to Monroe from Dundee, but they lived in Dundee when we bought the car. That's where they started.
How about segregation of blacks then? Did you go to school with them then?
No, there were no blacks in the country.
None or not?
None at all. No blacks out in the country. Mm-hmm. And as far as Monroe was concerned, they were probably down in the East End then.
But you didn't get to see many?
No. Mm. No, we didn't then. But I remember when the steel mill came to town. Then is when the black people from the South came up. And I can remember them walking and stopping at the house. This was after I was married. But it was nothing to see a black man come walking along the road and stop in for something, you know, to eat.
At your house?
Yes. I know there was one stop one day and one needed something to eat, and I gave him something to eat, and he was on his way to Monroe. There were quite a few people came from the South after the steel mill came here. Now, I was really a bit anxious because I was there alone and my husband was in the field working and the dog was with him instead of with me. And the man came up to the door and I guess he thought I was kind of frightened. He says, I won't come in the house. I'll just sit out here and eat. And he did. But he was very nice. He was polite. But you see, we weren't accustomed to the colored people at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing against them, but I just wasn't accustomed to them because you never saw them out in the country.
So, let's see, you taught school out in the country, didn't you?
I taught school.
Did blacks come to class?
No, there were no blacks around. Blacks out here yet.
Not.
I taught the Custer School down here 2 years. I taught there during the time of the war. The armistice was declared while I was teaching. I can remember that day so well. Around 11 o'clock in the morning, the bells rang. All the bells rang. I could hear them in town, and the sirens were going. And the little schoolhouse right out of town here, you know, you couldn't help but hear it. And we just flew out of school that morning. We just opened the door and we went out and we yelled. We were all so happy because the armistice had been declared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll never forget that day. That day you couldn't do much at school anymore. But before that, we had had quite a few Red Cross meetings in the neighborhood. The Custers lived in the district, and Lula Custer was active in Red Cross. So I had quite a few programs down here at school. And they'd have meetings, and they'd ask me to put on a program for the meeting. So I had several programs where I'd arrange with the children to have a little program for them after they had their meetings. Then I would stay in the district overnight. Otherwise, I stayed in town and walked out from town out to school here. It was quite a walk. I stayed on O'Brien Street.
Mm.
There was no bridge on Restor Street. I had to cross a railroad bridge that first year. There was no stone road out there either then. They built it that year.
You say Lulu Custer, who was that now?
She was great niece of, she was related to General Custer because she lived on the Custer farm.
Oh, she did live there?
She lived on the Custer farm. She and, was it a sister lived with her? Her brother lived there. And I used to go there to Red Cross meetings after school. I'd walk up there. See, the Custer farm is still down here. You know where it is, don't you?
I think so.
Yeah, it's still here. I see they're going to have some kind of doings there.
Oh, isn't that where they remodeled it and they're going to open
yeah,
it?
Yeah, something.
For?
I don't know. I heard since this couple has been in Monroe
right.
with honoring Custer, it's, they're going to do something there. I don't know what it is.
Let's see. You want to talk about when you were born?
I was born in Ohio, Avery, Ohio. That's near Huron, Ohio. And I was 10 weeks old when I came to Michigan. So this is, Michigan is my home.
Wow, geez, what a trip for.
My father bought a farm on the River Road. It's Dixon Road now. And he came out. Well, my mother and my 2-year-old sister and I came by train to Ida. Mm-hmm. We came as far as Monroe by streetcar or train. I maybe by streetcar. And my aunt, who was working in Monroe, went down to Ohio to help my mother bring my sister and me out here, because my father came with the stock on the freight train. And had the stock and the furniture and stuff on the freight train, and his brother and my mother's brother drove the team of horses out on a wagon with a wagon. It took them 2 days to come. It was over 100 miles.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, they came with a team of horses. It was a team of horses that my father had broken in, because he worked. He was a tenant farmer, and this farmer raised horses, and my dad had broken the team of horses and bought the team of horses of him. Mm-hmm. They were just young horses, a young team of horses, and they brought them out on the wagon and had other things on the wagon. They came out. But when we got to Monroe, we had to wait for the train that goes up to Ida. There used to be a train from Monroe that went up to Adrian. Mm-hmm. And it stopped in Ida. So we waited for that evening train. It went up, I think, around 6 o'clock, late in the afternoon anyway. So we waited in Monroe at the Meyer home where my aunt worked, at Fred Meyer's home. And when that train left Monroe, we went up as far as Ida, and then my father's brother lived on the corner, Ida Corners. That's Killian Upferman, and he met us at the train, and we stayed there until my father came, and then it wasn't long and we moved over into the home that he had bought.
And then how many years later did George come around?
Well, it was just Elsie was 2 years old, and I was 10 weeks old. And then 2 years later, Frida was born. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, George. So the four of us grew up. 10 years later, Arlene was born.
Oh, late baby.
So there were five of us all together. But Arlene was 10 years younger than the youngest one.
And so did you live on that farm until you moved?
20 years on that farm. Yeah, I was 20 years old when Dad sold that farm. The only one reason he sold it was because during the war you couldn't get any help. Dad always had hired help. He had 132 acres and all of it was work. There was no woods on there. Most farmers had woods on their land, you know, but this was all workable except what was around the buildings. So he always had to have a hired man. The 1st of March, a hired man came, and he stayed until after Thanksgiving. In those days, when you had a hired man, he stayed for the summer. He was part of the family. Mm-hmm. He just stayed there. And his mother washed for him and ironed for him and fed him. And, well, they had their room and board there, see. beginning the 1st of March, you could work. Oats was always sowed in March. You were plowing in March. Everything was done with horses.
Mm-hmm.
And Father kept enough horses so that two men could work and have an extra horse.
You couldn't find any help when the war came?
During the war, no, the boys were all gone. My mother and we girls went out and we shocked oats. We mowed it away. We made hay. We mowed that away. We worked like men. You just couldn't get enough help.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, they kind of wanted to go and buy a farm up around Ann Arbor so we children could get more of an education. So they rented that first year. And we were only there 10 days when my mother died.
Oh, really?
So we never went any farther. We bought the farm we rented because it was along the river. And none of us wanted to go way up around Ann Arbor without my mother.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to stay here. And we didn't want to leave the river. I remember Dad going around over on Stadler Road and over on Auburn Road, looking at farms, you know. And none of us wanted to leave the river. And this farm was on the river. And he had a chance to buy it, and he bought it. And it was only 80 acres where he had 132 before, so he could handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was there 29 years.
After that?
Until he came here with us.
And then where was this farm located at?
The one that I'm talking, the last one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know where that is, Marilyn. It's right up here on the bend by Doty's. Don't you know where that is? That big house, the barn is burned down now.
Oh, I think I do.
Next to Radke's.
Didn't the barn just burn down a lot?
Not too long ago. Yeah, next to Radke's there. Or next to Colton's. Colton's live there. And you know, those little houses that have been built in through there.
So that's where,
I don't know, it's Adam Doty bought it and it's rented now. He rents a house. But he works the land. But he rents a house.
And then Grandpa moved, my great-grandpa moved here with you?
When we built this house. See, after I married again, I stayed with Grandpa. We stayed with Grandpa until we built this house, and then Grandpa came here.
Mm-hmm.
So Grandpa was here almost 10 years. With us here.
How long did he live?
Grandpa was 90 years old when he died. And I think, he was 80 when we left the farm.
Grandma died pretty young, didn't she?
Yes, when we moved. But that was during World War I. She was a World War I victim because she got the flu. And those days, when you had the flu, so often it went into pneumonia, and that's what hers did. The day they moved in, she took sick.
Mm-hmm.
Went to bed that night. The house wasn't even all settled. I was teaching at the time. And I stayed home then. I never went back. I had to stay home then. I never went back that spring. They had to get a substitute because I had little Arlene at home.
Mm-hmm.
See. And then after I was there a year, then I taught the school up at Grape in my own home district one year while I stayed at home. So I taught 3 years. Of course, I didn't finish the second one because she died March 31st.
Right.
And so from March through May, I missed. Then they had a substitute teacher in. But when I was home, I could teach right in the home district. But those days you could teach on a 3-year certificate. After that, you had to go to college. Before that, you could teach on a 6-week summer school course. I had been in Ypsilanti 6 weeks, that's first summer after I graduated from high school. And then that let me teach that fall, see? Then I, only a country school.
Right.
Was all.
But all grades, right?
Yes, you have all grades. But you could teach 3 years that, on that certificate. And then you went up on. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to Albion, and I wanted to specialize in history and English.
Did you get to go on?
No, not after mother died. It really was needed at home. With Arlene there 5 years old, and George and Frieda were in high school, and you didn't dare deprive them of their high school. I'd had high school.
What was Elsie doing?
She was married.
Oh.
Elsie was married, see. So that really, it was up to me.
And when did you get married?
In 1922. My mother's aunt came and stayed with us. And she was there when I was married.
What was her name?
Instead of going on to school, I got married. Well, it was too late then for me to go on to school. Aunt, we called her Aunt Feeney. Everybody called her Aunt Feeney. Hmm. Everybody liked her. She was very jolly, very nice.
And she helped with the family?
Oh, yes.
She was there to help the family?
Oh, yeah. She, to help with who?
The family?
Yeah, that's what she came for. She had no home of her own, really. She was staying with her own children. Hmm. And she enjoyed it out here. She had a good time. And she took over a lot of the housework and all. She enjoyed doing it. In the summer, she would go to spend the summer with Grandma. That was Grandma's sister. The summer months she spent with Grandma. But
so how did you get to start writing to these people in Germany?
Oh, I'm still writing to them.
Yeah, how did you get to
yes.
start there?
Because my father always wrote to them. He always kept in touch with his people in Germany. So when he got so he couldn't see to write anymore, when it was hard for him, I did it for him. And he'd tell me what to write, and I did it for him. So after he passed away, I still kept it up. But I have cut it down to writing to only three of them. Well, four now, since Wilfred has been here to visit. So I'm writing to four, but I only wrote to three, where he used to write to five, six of them. So I have cut it down so I'd have one in a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've lost track of some of them.
Now your dad came over from Germany, didn't he? Or was it his dad?
No, he came over. He was 17 years old when he came. And he had a 14-year-old brother, Uncle Gus, that came with him.
Where was Uncle Gus during all this?
Huh?
Where was Uncle Gus?
He lived in Ohio.
Oh.
He never came out here to live. He stayed in Ohio. But they had a brother, or they had an uncle living down near, next to my grandma's, and that's where they came, to this uncle. But he was 17 years old. He had gone through the 8 grades down there. And then they don't go to high school, but they do apprentice work. And my dad had 3 years apprenticeship in a baker's trade, as a baker's trade. But when he came over here, he couldn't find work as a baker. So he was with Uncle Sill, who lived on a farm. And so he went to farming. And of course his dad was a farmer. His father was a farmer in Germany. So he knew farming. And so he hired out and was a hired hand on my grandfather's farm first. And then on the Reuben Turner farm, where he lived when he married my grandma in the tenant house, or married my mother, and lived in the tenant house. After he'd married my mother. Then he stayed right on the Reuben Turner farm, which was a great big farm.
Hmm.
Mr. Turner was a politician. And I don't know whether he had an office in the state, or I know that he was quite a politician. And he was manager of the mills in the flour grist mill in Avery, Ohio. But he had a big farm. The farmhouse is still there where I was born.
Where's that at?
At Avery, Ohio.
Oh.
Your mother took a picture of it when we were down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a picture of it. It's still there. And the big house is still there. Yeah, now right here, you see this? See my pencil marks?
Mm-hmm.
Alton Bonnie, Alton Ready, and Grosen Ready.
Yeah.
This is where what's Bonneville now, see? And there is the main castle. These are the little villages outside.
And that's just one now, they call it.
Yeah, they call it Bonneville now. And yet, she put Alton Ready on her letter. I see that. Now down here is Remsfeld. I saw it way down here. Someplace. I can't tell now, but right down in here you can tell.
Oh, that's it. Berg Gladbach.
You found it, huh?
That's it.
How near is it to Cologne? It hasn't gotten there.
Mm-hmm. It's been stationed all over. It's been stationed at Frankfurt and I don't know where is that now. But that's it. Gladbach.
That's where it is at.
Uh-huh.
Well, now you see. Castle is way. Here's Castle. See? He's quite a ways from Castle, too.
What is that like about in mileage there? Do you know? Have any idea?
No, I wouldn't have any idea. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm. Now you can see I put my.
It says Alton Bonnie and Alton Ready, and there's Grosen Ready, and the Elder's house is there. And then Waldeck is over someplace over here where Elizabeth lives. And Wolfhagen, I found that where Dad had the baker's trade. But Remsfeld is down here. I think I got it marked right there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. See? Now that's where these people come from,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's where they come from.
That first letter.
Yes, and I mentioned them in the letter I wrote on them, that I had this letter from her. And she says they don't hear from them at all anymore. So I know more about my cousins in Germany.
And they're probably only 50 miles from each other.
I think it's farther than that, probably.
Oh,
it might
so?
Not be. It might not be. I don't know. But they don't seem to. That's Uncle Martin's family, see? Well, now I wrote Martha. She lives in Kassel. That's Uncle Henry's family. They live in Mindershausen. And I thought I used to see it on this map, but I can't find it. But they live out on the farm. But they live out, too, that they have to take the car. They go for a day and come back in a day,
mm-hmm.
I think. But anyway, I wrote her and asked her to make a list of the names of the family in succession, in the order in which they came.
You mean like Martin and all?
Yeah.
That? Okay. Now I have the picture there at home. But
yeah.
We've got the names marked above.
I think they're right.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know whether Uncle Cullen was the oldest or Eustace was the oldest. You see, Uncle Cullen isn't on the picture.
Because he was over here.
Because he was over here, see?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he happened to get the picture. See?
They nailed it to him? Is that
I
it?
Must have.
Uh-huh.
He had the picture. My dad didn't. He was only 11 years old on that picture.
Mm-hmm.
See? And Uncle Adam wasn't on it because he wasn't born. And Elsie was a baby. So
was Killian the oldest in the family then?
That's what I want to know, whether it was Justice or Killian. It was one or the other, and that's what I asked
Justin
him.
Was on that picture.
He's on that picture, but he was in Germany.
I see.
See, he could have been older, but
mm-hmm.
he was still in Germany.
Still in Germany.
Uncle Killian was out here. That's why Killian had the picture.
Now that Justin, he stayed over there, right? He never came over
here. No, he never came over here.
Now where does he live?
Mm-hmm. Now I don't know. I've lost track of that. See?
Oh, I see.
See? But Aunt Martha, Dad's sister, married a justice of Vermont. No relation.
Oh, really?
So, and she had a son named Justice. See?
Oh.
So it kind of complicates things. But where Uncle Justice is and his family, I don't know.
Oh.
And Tracian's family is in Alton Bonnie, where Dad was born.
Do you know where that is on here?
Yeah, it's Alton Bonnie's where Dad was born.
Oh,
it's
right.
One of these. One of these that I've got marked here. Is this Alton Bonnie?
Right here. Right
that's
here.
Alton Bonnie. This is Alton Ready?
Mm-hmm. No, this is Alton Bonnie. Right,
now,
this is Alton Ready.
Yeah. Now, this is where Anna lives. See, Alton Ready. That's
and this
Alton
is where Grandpa was born here.
Yes, that's where he was born. And isn't there Grosen Ready here, too, someplace?
There's Gross and Ridium here, but I might not have it marked. But that's where Wilfred lives, see?
Oh, here it is.
Oh,
I believe.
Yeah, and that's where Wilfred lives, see?
Oh.
So right near to mm-hmm. Anna.
So how many children were there in that family?
There were 12, but two died in infancy.
I see.
See? 5 came over here, and 5 stayed over there. Now, I'm wondering if maybe none of them have that picture either.
It could be. It'd be nice to have it reproduced and send it to them.
Yeah,
it?
Maybe none of them had it. I don't know.
Gee, if they don't, I mean, I could have it reproduced and
I
send
just wonder if they have.
You know.
Because Papa, the only reason Papa got it was because when Uncle Kenan died, the other ones handed it to him.
Uh-huh.
See? Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't give it back to him because they were never interested.
Uh-huh. Hmm. That name popular over there? That
Upperman? I don't think.
You mean like where she's gonna be marrying somebody with wouldn't be any relation?
No, I don't think so. Pop said there's no relation.
Uh huh. I mean, it must be the name is fairly
yeah,
popular.
Yeah, I don't know. Must be
like the Smiths are over
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
maybe.
Might be. I don't know. Hmm. But oh no, I don't know.
Sure,
I think I did
wrong. Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Grandma, what's your name? Okay. You want tea or coffee?
I have some tea if you got some.
Yeah, I got tea. What do you want, Marilyn?
I don't want anything, thanks.
Milk?
No, thanks.
She's been feeling too peppy, so she's kind of a...
That's what she said. She's not feeling very good. It's not a bunch or anything like that, but it's sore. It's from my plate. It's not a sore throat, it's a sore mouth. And I got some of Sabre's Ibex on it.
Yeah. Did they own all that property then? That was.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I think they probably just had a little house there. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. There were probably others. There were others living there too. They weren't the only ones.
Oh, I see. And then they eventually cleared it all off and made a music
yeah.
park, huh?
See, yes. They lived there long enough for Uncle Fred and Fran Haney and Uncle Fred to be born. Are you sure you don't want a piece of cake, Marilyn?
I'm sure. We gotta get that recipe from Billy for Sunday.
I got another recipe I might try.
Can I try that one too?
I think we got it there someplace.
Yeah. I wanna make it.
Okay. To buy another stuff for you.
No, it isn't.
Oh, gosh.
No ice cream, though. I don't have ice cream. That's too cold.
It got
cold today, didn't it?
It did, really. So not used to this cold weather in February.
No. But it's supposed to get warm again.
I'd sure like to go there someday, wouldn't you?
I wanted to. I can't anymore. But I hope you and Jean get over there, or Marilyn gets over there sometime.
I'd like to go there and to Switzerland.
I hope you and Jean can get over there.
Yeah, he wants to go. Right, he just loved it.
And look up those people.
Wouldn't that be fun, though? Just to see them, you know. And to...
How about some hot water? Hot water. I drink my hot water. These maps are interesting, and I want you to have these someday because I don't.
Well, I'm really glad to see that because it's easier to visualize now than once you see it on a map.
Mm-hmm. Dad brought those along from Germany. Hmm.
So you see, they're old.
What year was that again? 39? Didn't he go?
38.
Mm-hmm. I wish I knew more now, like about where my family come from, you know.
Well,
other than.
Well, your family. Emma's family came from. She told me the name of the place, and I found it up here. So I'm going to take the map to her someday and show her. It's right here, Schwerin.
Now, what was her maiden name again?
Hartwig.
Hartwig, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is she a relation to Henry Hartwig in town?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I think that's
I'm glad.
Hartwig. Nobody likes him, do they? Nobody likes him. He was nasty to George.
Yeah, that's why I guess I didn't
know him. Well, I think he's nasty to everybody, isn't he, or not?
I don't know. I just know him from when Jean never had much use for him, and I just inherited the feeling there. Because he said how what a bad deal he gave his dad.
Yeah. He and
Charlie Hawes.
Yeah, Charlie Hawes. Gee, Charles hated Charlie Hawes. It's on account of Charlie Hawes. Charles left the mill one time and went over to Time Container. Then Earl Drake got him back down there again.
Oh, is that right?
He was gone for a little while. I guess Charlie Hawes could be mean too. That water tastes kind of good. Cindy's been having trouble this week. I've been running around with Cindy. Her car gave out again.
Oh, there?
A radiator. You know, her uncle died.
Read that someplace in the paper. Yeah.
And she's supposed to take over as administrator now, you know. And she's had so much running around to do. I wouldn't let her car give out. So I let her use mine. Well, I went with her over to, she went over to, Rupp's to get the death certificates, you know. I went over with her, and she was telling Rupp about her car. And he said, well, Cindy, he said, use mine. You can use mine. It was awful nice of him, you know.
I guess so.
To offer his car to her. And I said, well, Cindy, you can use mine. And, but she wanted, you know, she knows that I use mine, too. And she was using mine, you know. She used it that night, and then I told her she could use it the next day, then she used it again. But then, when she took her car in, I told her I'd follow her and bring her home. Well, she said she'd call Root first, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she called over there, and he said, I'll meet you with my car down at the station. When you take your car down, I'll meet you. Then you take me home, and you have my car.
Oh, isn't that
so
good?
She had that big Oldsmobile down the 88, that station wagon. She was running around in yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And she didn't want to go alone, so she said, will you go with me? She says, I don't want to be alone. You know, she's just all shook up.
She is?
And her mother doesn't like to go with her. Her mother doesn't like to go out. So she asked me if I'd go with her. So I went with her yesterday. She had so many errands to run. But here I was, riding around in that car. Well, she got her car again last night.
Oh.
So she thought she had a new radiator, but she didn't.
Mm.
All they did was flush it out.
Oh.
But they took it right away. And did it for her right away. They're good there.
Was this down Elm?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take my car and have a grease and oil change down there because he said he does a much better job.
Where do you take it? Down here, Elm?
I never have. He fixed my
they're
muffler and stuff underneath, and he was telling how he does a grease and oil job because they do all the little
things. Hey, they're good. You can depend on them.
Mm-hmm. That's
so a good
I said,
place.
Well, I'll bring it over and have
you. They really are. They're sure good to Sydney and me. That's a frozen cake.
It's good. Very good.
Pepperidge.
Germany isn't that big a country, is it?
No.
Really?
No, that's the trouble.
Be.
That's the trouble with Germany. You see how they are fenced in?
The only outlet on the water is the North Sea.
Yeah, that's why, it's all landlocked, like almost.
Mm-hmm. And they were highly populated. See, that's why Dad wanted to go to England.
Oh.
And take up the baker's trade in England. You see, if you didn't leave the country, then you had to serve so many years.
Oh, in service, I bet, mm-hmm. huh?
Yeah.
Well, they're still doing that, aren't mm-hmm. they?
I think so. Are they?
Yeah, because he did.
They're still doing that. Well, listen, what gets me, we didn't do it here. And you won't realize this, but World War I, we said, you know, that shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. After the war, we took it up. See, that's what gets me.
Yeah.
We condemned Germany for that very thing. World War I, we condemned Germany for that.
Then we turned around and did the same thing.
But I can remember how we condemned Germany for doing that. But Dad left because he didn't want us to go through that. His brothers did. Well, Uncle Clint left, he didn't either, see?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Raber left and he didn't.
Raber?
Charles Edmund's father.
Oh, is that right?
He never had to serve too.
Now where did they come from?
He lived in Alsace-Lorraine.
Where's that?
Well, I don't know if it still exists, but between France and Germany. You won't see it on here.
Oh.
But it's a little country between France and Germany, and they always fought over it. First France owned it, or I don't know who owned it first, but either France would own it or Germany.
Uh-huh.
And they spoke both French and German. But now Mr. Raber spoke the German. He must have been here in the German part. But it was called Alsace-Lorraine. It was just a little country. Hmm. And I've seen it on the map. That pulls just one way, Marilyn.
One way?
Yeah, if you started here, this is the front.
Yeah.
And then open that up and just go backwards and forwards. Okay. See, and then, see, maybe you. And this is the front, see? Okay, I guess that part was all right. You had it there. Mm-hmm. It's so worn, you've got to be so careful because the paper's so old.
To really put them under glass.
I want to show you what I'm doing.